she says nobody. Yes.
Call the meeting, Your Honor, Committee of the Whole meeting, Monday, December 13th, 2010. Let the record show, all the aldermen are here except Alderman Hill, Alderman Pollack, and Alderman Vogelsberg. And the mayor is on his way. Sorry, Mayor. My name is Rich Marks. I'm the alderman of the Second Ward, and it's my pleasure to chair the meeting tonight. First order of business is the consent agenda. The only thing on the consent agenda is to approve the minutes from the November 22nd, 2010 meeting.
So moved.
Move to approve the minutes.
Oh, second.
Alderman Brown. Seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Mm-hmm. Any questions, comments? Seeing none, hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Alderman Marks votes aye. Any opposed? No? Next item, item 4A, consider request for use of city right-of-way and barricades for Geneva Park District Super Bowl Shuffle 5K Run, Sunday, February 6, 2011.
So moved.
Moved by Alderman Dantino.
Second.
Seconded by Alderman Brown. Questions, comments? Microphone, please. No,
my question was, what fool is going to run on February 6th?
Maybe Alderman Pollack, maybe yeah, out there. Pollack, it Pollack. Might be. I mean,
you so. Say that in July, though.
That's true. I said all year.
It's going to be a warm February.
Yeah.
Hearing none, seeing none. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Alderman Marks votes aye. Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 4B. Consider authorization for public hearing on city-initiated amendments to the Geneva Zoning Ordinance.
So moved.
Second.
Chairman.
Moved by Alderman Brown, seconded by Alderman Flanagan. Questions? Comments? Anything that needs to, staff needs to? Oh, this one. Hearing none, seeing none, all in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Alderman Marks votes aye. Any opposed? All right. That votes. That passes unanimously. Item 4C, consider draft ordinance amending Title IV Business and License Regulations and Title 11 Zoning in order to establish use permissibility and licensing regulation for adult-use businesses.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Alderman Brown.
Second.
Second by Alderman Maladra. Mr. Unsh, it is your floor to talk.
Very good. Thank you. Good evening. Wanted to point out a few things. You have a pretty involved packet of information on this set of code amendments. The Planning Commission did review this back on November 11th and unanimously recommended approval of that portion of the proposed code amendments dealing with zoning provisions pertaining to the regulation and control of adult uses in the city. You may recall from our past discussion that as we stand right now, our zoning regulations and really any other code provisions don't, within our city code, specifically don't give us the ability to regulate an adult use differently than any other use of like nature. A good example would be a bookstore, say a Barnes & Noble bookstore. That's allowed in certain business zoning districts. If an adult bookstore were to come into the community and wanted to locate in that same district, the city would be obliged and would legally have to grant that use to be established in the property. And as our packet demonstrates, there are numerous reasons why we don't believe that, and the Planning Commission certainly supports the notion that these adult types of uses should be regulated at a higher level because of the kind of secondary negative effects that begin to be generated by these types of uses on communities. Going through the packet, you'll see some 23 or 24 findings that have been stipulated in the proposed ordinance establishing the zoning and licensing regulations. I think the key point to be made on this is that when we talk about regulating the negative impacts on the community on these types of uses, and making sure that that those impacts are properly addressed, really has to do with the distance of these kinds of adult uses as they relate to residences, churches, schools, parks, and playgrounds. And so what we've come up with is a two-tiered approach in how we would regulate these uses. If a use were proposed, first it would have to be located in either an I-1 or I-2 industrial zoning classification in the city. Part of that zoning regulation also would stipulate that at least 750 feet would have to be established between that use and the property line of a residence, church, school, park, or playground. So what we have is kind of a dual standard there in terms of zoning. When you go through, and I think we looked at the maps last time when we discussed this, but when you go through and analyze all of the industrial zoning classifications in the city, there are really just two areas that would afford an opportunity to create these kinds of distances between uses and at the same time provide reasonable opportunity in the eyes of the courts of providing a spot for adult uses. In setting up this regulation, the city and staff by no means is suggesting that it condones or necessarily supports these kinds of uses in the community. But what we are saying is that if a use were located in town, it's going to be located in a position that is removed from these sensitive areas, and that there'll be a proper set of regulations to ensure that the public health and welfare of our community is protected. Most of the substance of the proposed code provisions actually relates to licensing provisions that are also a part of the proposal that extends sort of outside the realm of the zoning ordinance and deal with specific aspects of how a proposal for an adult use would be handled. Any person operating or employed by an adult use business would be required to obtain a license. The application for the license would include fingerprinting, suitable for conducting background checks, proof of age, the issuing jurisdiction of the permit. The proposed regulations would also set fees, review procedures, and timelines for determination of license applications. And this is key. Applications may be denied if an applicant is not at least 18 years of age, is delinquent in taxes, fees, fines, or penalties owed to the city, has been convicted of a specific criminal activity, has falsely answered a question on the application form for the license, has submitted an incomplete application, or has been determined that the associated adult use business is in violation of established licensing regulations. That license then would be applied for and if granted, would be good for a one-year period of time. Provisions in the ordinance require that each year that license be reapplied for and reinstated. Inspections of any facility of an adult use nature could occur at any time while the facility is occupied or open for business. There are specific provisions for suspension of the license and for revocation of the license. There are minimum separation distances between an adult use and any other adult use, so they can't cluster together the way the regulation is set forth. And also, there would be no frontage properties that could be used for adult uses as structured in the ordinance. They involve Fabian Parkway, Illinois, Route 38, and Kirk Road. Again, by the zoning map, those are the only areas that might be subject to that. So those also are excluded. Detailed floor plans are required for the proposed uses. And the final point I would make would just be that the proposed regulations would prohibit alcoholic beverages from being served, consumed, possessed, delivered, or transported on the premises. So, long story short, this is an effort by city staff and City Attorney Radovich to come up with a regulation that in fact protects the citizens of the community from these kinds of uses by making sure that we have a legally defensible set of regulations as there is much litigation that's gone on in the past and a tremendous body of case law in how various establishments have challenged municipal regulations. So we believe we have a defensible ordinance and one that protects the best interests of the city. those are my comments, and I'm available for questions, as are Attorney Radovich and David DeGroote.
Alderman Piper, I think you had a question.
Thank you, Mr. Marks. One thing that makes me a little bit uncomfortable about doing all this tonight is without any representative from the ward that really would be most affected by this, nobody's here tonight. I guess my only question to you, Dick, is I know we have to be, you know, obviously legally we have to be covered, but I think just coming from a logical and comfortable point of view, if I put myself back in the third ward where I was at one point, my question to you would be, I understand we have to do this and it's just house cleaning and nobody has asked to come in and we just want to set ourselves up. How do I eliminate Glengarry? Because I have no problem with the maps here, but as I look at number six and I see Glengarry there, and I understand that it fits all of the legal definitions that we're looking at, it just makes me uncomfortable. That's all. So what would we have to do to I understand it meets all the legal, but it just, even if it meets it, it's just too close to the neighborhood for me. So how do we eliminate Glengarry? I don't have as much of a problem with it being across Kirk, in the industrial park, being over there. I get that part. I understand that Glengarry is part of that industrial park, but then you're getting into the area where, you know, McDonald's is over there, and you're mm-hmm. still getting kids going back in there, and it just makes me a little uncomfortable, and I think that's the backlash we would get. I understand mm-hmm. we're in a completely hypothetical sure. situation sure. here. I'm just trying to think of what arguments I would hear from Dawn if she was here. I'm just trying to think ahead here. So I know we're talking in hypotheticals, but what would we have to do to eliminate that section of the map?
Well, I think that first off, let me say that we've got the mapping that clearly illustrates this. You know, we should probably pull that down.
Because if somebody came in, Dick, and wanted to put it there, what footing do we have to say, no, I don't think so?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to get caught into a legal that binds us either way.
Yeah, here's what it comes down to. We've scoured the case law with respect to mm-hmm. the separation distances, and there are communities that have considered regulations at 250 feet, 500 feet, 750 feet, and 1,000 square feet. There's another aspect to this, and if I murder this explanation, Chuck can certainly chime in. But what it comes down to is we're looking to create a legally defensible ordinance. That's the number one goal, because we're all about protecting sure. the community at large here. But what it really comes down to is what's legally defensible, mm-hmm. and what's been shown to be legally defensible in the courts is a demonstration by the municipal regulations that are put in place that there is reasonable opportunity for a business to locate within the community. And reasonable opportunity has been defined in the case law in terms of what might be termed an acceptable percentage of the total land area of the city that could potentially house these kinds of uses. And we're at a point right now with what we've done with the mapping and what we've calculated on the acreage that's available as a percent of the city. We're coming up for this kind of use. We're coming right to that point where the defensibility of our regulations becomes reduced if we further reduce the acreage within the city where this use might be located.
So what's keeping us from going? Is that what's?
That's pretty much it.
Well, look,
we could go to 1,000 feet of separation
right.
distance. That would eliminate this area, but
right.
it would also reduce the total area available potentially for this type of use. And it would be just in the Geneva Business Park area, mm-hmm. but that area would be further reduced. And you know, we've made some judgments here and discussed this at some length. You know, weighing the pros and cons of how we might expose ourselves to litigation if there was a challenge to the ordinance. I don't know, Chuck, do you have any other comment to make on that?
Yeah, it's difficult. It's difficult to have a bright line test on this. The 7th District Court, which is the federal court that, circuit court, that district court that covers our area, had a case about 3 years ago, the City of Marshall case, and they had a 1,000-foot limit, but that was a more of a rural community, and that 1,000-foot limitation created about 4% of the total city area available for adult uses. And the court said that was fine, but there were extenuating circumstances. Outside of the boundaries of the City of Marshall was unincorporated area where people could have adult uses or potentially have adult uses. So this is a somewhat of a subjective situation, but we're looking at those kinds of case precedents, which we think would be useful in evaluating our situation here. The court in that case said, you know, it's not really whether it's 4% or whatever. It's, you know, is it usable, as Dick says, reasonable property that can be potentially used? Probably in this instance, the property along Glengarry is not usable. I mean, it's just a strip along that property, but it's
if
there.
If that's the case, then why don't we just go to 1,000 feet and call it a day?
I suppose if the council wants to take that,
for our own peace of mind. I guess just asking the question. I don't know what the will of the council is. I'm just asking the question.
Well, that's a legislative decision that the city council can take.
I mean, it sort of eliminates it from any sort of an in-town, and if it comes up, it comes
it
up.
Does.
We never had anybody ask, but it does eliminate it from being in town, and we still have an area in the industrial park within 1,000 feet of any residential or anything else that, if somebody wanted to put it there, I guess it would be the place to put it.
I think the percentage with 750 is about 2.7 or 2.8% of the total available land area within the city.
Just Area 7.
I beg your pardon?
Just Area 7 would only be 2.7.
Yeah, at 750 feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. At a 750-foot buffer, it would be 2.7% of the area of the community. If you went to 1,000,
an awful lot of adult bookstores. I mean, at the end of the day, that's a, you know,
more than one.
Exactly, that's more than, or a really big one. So, yeah,
exactly. That's a legislative decision, certainly, Alderman, that the council can take.
Well, I guess then I would ask the council what their thoughts are. Right? I wouldn't have any problem going to 1,000 feet, but I'm not going to make it a friendly amendment unless. I guess we should discuss it first. I know it's a little free-flowing at these town meetings, but.
The other comment, and I think maybe Dick has made this before, you know, we have liberally used the format that the City of Batavia adopted several years ago for adult use regulation. And I believe in their instance they use 750 as well. They use 750 feet. As the buffer area. The difference between Batavia and Geneva, however, is that in Geneva's case, we have residences which are in unincorporated King County that are right up against our borders. And so if we're consistent in saying they shouldn't have an adult use within so many feet of a residential structure, That 750 has bumped the area even to a smaller square footage area. So that's the difference between our situation and Batavia. They didn't have that in their surrounding areas.
Clarification, those white areas which are township are available for adult uses. Is that correct under current law?
Well, it's not township law. It would be county law. The unincorporated
have a statute.
The county has they, as I understand it, they regulate their adult uses through special use zoning law.
Because areas 1, 4, 5, 6, and 7 all have county space right next to them. So it's not as if we can eliminate.
No, but we have looked though at residentially zoned areas in unincorporated King County adjoining our boundaries and have made the calculation of 750 feet from the residence as opposed from to the zoning district line. So we've tried to be true to the spirit of the law.
That includes township and county residents as
correct.
Well as city of Geneva. Okay,
that's
so
correct.
Those white areas actually are not, are blanked out.
Right.
Thank you.
Alderman Piper? Okay. Alderman Singer, I think you were...
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do believe the question I'm about to ask has been answered, but I need some clarity here. Has there been at any time someone has submitted a request for this type of a business to come into our community at this point in time? Not at this point in time. Okay. The other question I have is, let me get over to the page I need, regarding the hours of operation.
It's 5 of 5. It's on the last page.
Yeah. No adult use business may remain open to the public or allow occupation of the premise for any private gathering at any time between the hours of 1 a.m. and noon on any day. Would you clarify that for me?
It's just that for these uses that are typically open in evening hours, they would have to close at 1 a.m.
Okay.
They're could not open before noon.
And not open before,
not open before noon. Okay. You don't feel that this, in a sense, would be something which some of the businesses that presently are functioning in a normal capacity would have concerns regarding the fact that they would not also feel that they should be open just as the same hours as these, this operation would be?
Oh, you mean other restaurants and that
yeah.
type of thing you're talking about? Well, we don't regulate restaurant hours, for example. There are lots of businesses that operate independently of the city's involvement in hours of operations. We've restricted hours of operation on fast food restaurants.
Yes.
And bars.
And bars.
Mm-hmm. I think they have bars. Yes.
That would be it.
Okay. There was something else I had in mind. I can't seem to recall. Maybe it'll come back to me as we go along. But okay. Thank you. Thank you, Will.
Alderman Dan Tina. You
have. Thank you, Alderman Marks. I too am uncomfortable with Zone 6 or Region 6, whatever you're calling it. With the McDonald's being right down the road, we just opened another liquor store there as well. McDonald's, I haven't gone there for a while, might even have a playground. I'm not even sure about that. But I would vote no on this if we left it at the current situation as it is right now. If we went to 1,000 feet, that would eliminate Zone 6?
It would.
It would
reduce our land area where this kind of use might be established down to around 2% of the city land area by going to 1,000 feet instead of 750 feet.
Next question. In those areas that Alderman Brown was referring to, doesn't the county come to us if somebody's going to do something if it's within a mile and a half of the city limits?
Yeah. Well, it has to do with the specifics of the request as it would relate to the county zoning regulations. I do recall, I don't remember the district change, but several years ago, the county took action to rezone a property on the east end of East State Street that had an adult use in it. And once that use discontinued operating, the county did rezone the property to prevent that use from reestablishing itself on that property. And I, off the top of my head, I just don't recall which district specifically allows that kind of use. Do you recall?
Is there a B2 zoning district? They
B2?
Allow it by special use. Because it requires a special use, we would receive notification.
I think what I would suggest is that we'll look and see what lineal distance it would take to eliminate the Glengarry. It may be something less than 1,000 feet. So It could be 800, it could be 850, it could be 900 feet. But see what that, so we're not just going to 1,000 feet.
So do you suggest that we table this until you make that calculation?
Well, that's at your pleasure. But no. I mean, it could be a direction that we just
I think we want a motion to continue, so, not to table. Well, but I think Alderman Flanagan had a question first.
But since that was on the table already of discussing, because I was going to ask how legally, how we could uphold the 2% if there was any problem in the courts about the 2%.
Well, I think that's problematic. You know, 2% of whatever the city of Chicago's square footage is a lot of area, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think it's 295 square miles or something. So it's a lot of square miles. And 2% would be a tremendous amount. Now, obviously, if you've got a small town, it's going to be a lot different.
Right, smaller.
Right. If we were a bedroom community, all residential, you could totally ban this.
Gotcha.
Okay. But because we have a diverse zoning code with uses going from industrial to rural residential, we can't have exclusionary zoning uses.
Yeah, and I do realize that, because when I went to the Municipal League, this was years ago, I want to say almost 10 years ago, they talked just about the same discussion that cities and municipalities should enact zoning to allow for these adult uses to safeguard so that you're in, you know, constitutionally or whatever the case may be at that particular time. So I think we're catching up with everyone else. But I wouldn't be opposed to extending it, though.
Extending
more
the distance.
Than 750 feet, right?
Right.
I would be in agreement with that.
It's the collective staff's recommendation, as Dick said, to use this regulatory method as opposed to strictly a zoning use, like a special use, because it takes, in our opinion, it takes the subjectivity away from the issue and doesn't put that heavy burden upon a plan commission or a city council. It's in the regulations.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alderman Piper, I believe you wanted to speak.
I just, Chuck, as long as you're up there, then can we vote to move this forward based on Dick making the calculation so we can vote on this next week?
Correct.
Okay. Do we have to make an amendment to that or just?
I think we would just withdraw the motion.
Withdraw the motion then?
Staff will just bring it back whenever.
Bring it back to Committee of the Whole.
Committee of the Whole.
When you finish the
That's meeting. Fine. That's fine.
Okay.
If anybody else, I did have one question before we do continue. I noticed we had everything in here, licensing and stuff. Do we create the licensing fee within this ordinance, or is that within another ordinance, the fee for the license? Because I'd imagine we will have that separate.
It's in this ordinance.
It is the fee for the license? I didn't see the actual fee.
I believe it's at
page 50.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I apologize.
If I may ask one more question.
Go ahead.
There was, on page 50, there was a discussion about employees. Is it each employee has to have a license fee? I don't know if it specifically says each employee in there. I don't know
we'll
if that matters.
We'll look.
What. Thank you. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Excuse me, Mr. Marks, I do remember the question I had wanted to ask. I think it needs some clarification. If the area is in a county-controlled, unincorporated as such, the county has purview as to just how and what the issues would be resolved if someone were to establish a location such as that?
The county has an obligation, if it's going to make a zoning change.
Yes.
To notify the municipality within a mile and a half of its municipal boundaries of that change. And then there's certain things which the municipality can do. This county, this city council could pass a resolution that would require an extraordinary vote of the county board in adopting that ordinance. And in addition to putting whatever kind of political pressure you may want on county board members, but it would that kind of resolution by a municipality saying they object to the proposed zoning would require, I believe it's a three-fourths vote of the county board as opposed to a simple majority. Three-fourths or two-thirds, three-fourths, I believe.
All right. Good. Okay. Thank you for that clarification.
Does that apply to a special use?
Yeah.
If it was already had the correct zoning and all the applicant was asking for was a special use permit.
I think it does. We'll check on that, Chuck. Yeah, that's a good point. But
because we are, as a city, surrounded by county property.
Correct.
Right.
I mean, it is true that a special use is not a map amendment in the traditional sense.
Interesting question. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marks.
I think we have enough questions to require a tabling at this point.
And Alderman Brown, I think that would be yours because you made the original motion with Alderman Brown. Just to withdraw. Withdraw the motion.
If the seconder agrees, I'd like to withdraw the motion.
Yep, I agree.
We have to take a vote. That's it. Unless I have a motion to go back into it, but I don't. So
we will withdraw that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I made the motion
Thank
by mistake.
Thank you, Dr. Holmes. Appreciate that. Next item on the agenda is 4D. Consider draft resolution to declare surplus, advertise, and negotiate sale of public properties.
Rich?
Yes.
Somebody
I'm sorry. I didn't catch that. If you could come up to the mic, please, and we need your name and address, please, just for the record.
My name is John Rice, and I live at 301 North Glengarry. And I'm just a little confused on the procedure of this. So is this an opportunity for us to comment regarding the adult use businesses, or is it tabled now? And
once the lights go off, we
fall back
for the electric problem we haven't had. Technically speaking, it's not a public hearing, but I know that the chairman, like all chairmen of these committees, certainly welcome commentary at any time. So by all means, you're more than welcome to speak.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for bringing up Glengarry, because that's my major concern, and that's a lot of our neighbors in the area's concern, as well as restricting the adult use businesses to the Glengarry Industrial Park. So. But first, I want to thank everybody here, Mayor Burns and all the aldermen, for all the hard work that you folks do to keep the city going. We really appreciate that. And thanks for putting together the plan for the Plan Commission, because it was very detailed. I learned more about adult businesses than I ever thought I would learn, the different types and the restrictions.
You just said that on TV.
Yeah, very thorough. So, and I also get it. I mean, we understand that there's First Amendment considerations that have to be taken into place. And I understand that we want to put these back in the industrial park so that they're kind of more out of sight, out of mind type thing. Maybe not out of mind so much, but out of sight. And, you know, I begrudgingly accept, and the neighbors, I think, understand that there has to be some areas where these go. And we're okay with, at least myself, I'll just speak for myself, okay with that Area 7, which is on the other side of Kirk Road. But the Glengarry Industrial Park creates a lot of problems, and that's the Area 6. And you know, essentially, you know, that industrial park is an extension of our neighborhood. I live at Glengarry, 301 North Glengarry, so it's right at the corner of Glengarry and Hill Road. At the top of my driveway, I can see into the industrial park and to, you know, right down that street. We share a street name. You know, there's a lot of confusion. I redirect people a lot, quite often when I'm out in the front working on the yard or whatever, to the south side to get into the park if they're going to minor corporation or enterprises or one of the other businesses down there. The McDonald's is a huge concern. I mean, kids frequent that McDonald's from the neighborhood. It doesn't have a playground, by the way, either. Yeah, there's no playground, but that doesn't mean that they won't upgrade that one of these days to where it does. Fuller's is right there. You know, the new liquor store on the east side of town, we have to have two liquor stores real close there. So we've got that right there. And then there's also the DePaul Canine Campus, which is back in there as well, where a lot of residents go to take their dogs for boarding and whatnot. So, you know, my point is it's just too visible. So, I mean, I really want to put that out there. It's a very visible industrial park, and it's an extension of ours. I mean, anybody pulling into that McDonald's gets a clear view of right down into the industrial park. I mean, there's no missing what's back there, to pause right there, so on and so forth. And I talked to McDonald's. They get on average 140 vehicles an hour that goes through their drive-through, which is pretty amazing. And I thought it was kind of interesting if you read the newspaper after Randy Holcomb's election, after he won. They were down here at Riverside Receptions, and he lives in Winfield. He drove through that McDonald's. He crossed through that and into that McDonald's to get a Diet Coke on his way home from the victory dinner. So it's not like people aren't going there, and you know, it's very visible, and they are in that area. It's so visible that Chaudine, their property, if you go to their website and click on that description of their property, which is the One Commerce Center, you know, they use it as a sales pitch. I mean, it's a ease and convenience of an already established east side of Geneva. It's located in a light industrial area. It's easily spotted by potential customers on the heavily traveled Kirk Road and Route 38. So, and that's true. If you drive down Kirk Road or 38, look off to your left, you can easily, you know, see right in that industrial park. So it's not a real isolated park. And then, you know, the other question was, or point was what you brought up, if you can't really build there anyways, with the way it's set up, why not just eliminate it? And then, you know, the other thing I just wanted to throw out there as well was there's a liquor, you know, new liquor store right there. If in the off chance, but a possible chance that somebody would set up an adult, you know, adult business, it would be liquor free. You wouldn't be able to drink liquor there. Well, that's within walking distance. So the other thing that popped into my mind today is, you know, now you have people that are, you know, buying liquor there and parking back in the industrial park to consume their alcoholic beverages, or they're driving around the neighborhoods before they go to whatever type of businesses, you know, would be established there. So those are some of my concerns. I mean, I've talked to some of the businesses in the area, and they have some concerns as well, and I don't know if they want to speak to them today or not. I know that it's an open forum, but those are some of the things that popped up in my mind. I had kind of debated whether to get real involved in this or not, but I think someone around here says that democracy isn't a spectator sport. I think have you been known to say that, Mayor Burns? So I figured I would give it a shot and get involved a little bit.
You're doing great. You're doing fine.
Thanks. As an alternative, I mean, the ones that I've looked at is the Area 1, which is on the west side of town. That's between the railroad tracks, just west of Randall Road and just north of Delnor Hospital. Now, there might be some problems with that I'm not aware of, but I've driven around that area, and I don't see any churches or liquor stores or daycare centers that would impede that area if we had to get to that 2% somehow. I think that's it. Kind of try to sketch out a little bit so I can stay on track. But thanks, you guys, for you know, taking this up. You know, I just ask you to really work on trying to limit this, you know, this area. I wish Dawn was here because I think she'd probably have some feelings on it. And, you know, thanks for listening.
Appreciate your comments. Could you spell your last name just for the record?
Rice, R-I-C-E.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Just like it sounds, Mr. Chairman.
You can't spell.
It was for the recording secretary, just so you know. Recording secretary.
If she asks, I will give it. Ma'am, did you, if you please, again, name and address so that, and if you could spell your last name.
My name is Jacqueline Hindi, H-I-N-D-I, and I'm the business owner at the corner of Glengarry and Commerce, Allied Rivet. We own that property, and Mr. Rice brought this to my attention. And my concern, of course, is, as you talked about, the McDonald's coming through, I have customers come. It would be very embarrassing to have an adult business in my area. We're a manufacturing site. I've got employees with families. I got one employee who lives not too far from there, and regularly, will, when his daughter gets home off the bus, he will go and get her and bring her back to sit in his office so that she's not home alone. He doesn't want his daughter to see an adult business. I think I do appreciate your being proactive on this to try and limit so that we don't face a lawsuit. I understand that, and I think it's great that we are doing that. I'm sure that we all wish that we could just say no thanks to anywhere in Geneva, because that's not what Geneva is. We don't want it to be known for that. Geneva is known for charming businesses and beautiful old homes and buildings, and I think we want to keep it that way. If there is any way that we could increase that distance to 1,000 feet so that Glengarry would be eliminated, I, as a business owner, would be very appreciative. I was reading an article from the Illinois Family Institute, and perhaps some newer case law precludes what I was reading, and I didn't quite understand it, but they were talking about how neighborhoods in a large city, there are ways that they can completely say no to this type of business because of secondary issues, more about what the behavior of the people who would come to an establishment and how it might affect the area. And, of course, it's way beyond me. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know if we've looked into that sort of thing. If a neighborhood, they compared a neighborhood in a large city as the equivalent of a small town, and if a neighborhood in a large city can say, no, we're not going to have that, or zoning will exclude that, then it should be the same thing for a small town. And to, so I don't know if that's been looked into by the lawyers, but I would appreciate the consideration.
I think the city attorney can answer that.
Actually, that's what Mr. Unch and I were talking about, secondary effects. The Supreme Court and all the federal courts have looked more have looked away from this content-neutral, content-biased viewpoint, and now looking at what are the secondary effects, such as crime and theft and sexually violent crimes, looking at that aspect. So many of the findings that you're making, those studies, those cases, that came from other municipalities, Seattle, Los Angeles, some in New York, deal with those issues. The courts also have said that you don't have to create a separate study for the city of Geneva on this. You can use studies that other communities have done or other universities have done. So, yes, we did look at the secondary effects. And just as an aside, 34 years ago when I became city attorney, one of the first cases I was assigned among 12 others, and I think I shipped this one out, was the defense of the Plan Commission City Council's rejection of the McDonald's in Glengarry Drive. So the City Council did not want that McDonald's at that location, so which the city lost, by the way.
Good thing.
Anyone else have any comments, or we will move on, because I didn't catch the...
Just one clarification. I don't know if this is good or bad, but that is actually in the Fifth Ward, that location.
In the Glengarry?
When you cross south of State, it changes to the Fifth Ward. That subdivision over there, Valley View, is also in the Fifth Ward, okay, which borders it.
All right. Not seeing anything else, we'll move on then in that. That item will come back up again in the near future after staff has a chance to study and see what distance we would need to eliminate that and come back with their findings. The next item on the agenda is 4D, consider draft resolution to declare surplus, advertise, and negotiate sale of public properties adjacent to and or near 700 and 800 blocks of James Street.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Brown and Alderman Sutton. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, seeing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Next item on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, Mrs. Miller, that means it was unanimous, and I believe that the chairman will agree with me that you needn't come next week on that item.
That is true. It will be on the consent agenda, so it will not, unless it's removed by an alderman, but usually 100% unanimous did not get moved on.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Yeah, and you feel free to leave, too. You don't have to sit through the rest of our meetings. Unless you really have nothing else to do tonight. Item 4E, then, is consider the draft resolution. Yes, I'm sorry.
If I might.
Go ahead.
For clarification and Ms. Miller's information, once this comes back to the council for a formal vote next Monday, we will be sending out letters to all of the adjacent property owners explaining where we're at in the process and the deadline for the legal notice in the paper and so on and so forth. So you'll be getting more details once there's a formal vote next week. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. McKittrick. Okay.
We will get now to 4E. We will consider the draft resolution authorizing professional service contract with Hampton, Lenzini, and Renwick for Campbell Street parking lot project.
So moved.
Alderman Maladra makes the motion.
Second.
Second is Alderman Piper.
Oh, wrong.
Comments, questions? Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Chairman Marks. When this, the right of first refusal on this property was first negotiated, there was hope that eventually we'd be able to put a continuous parking lot all the way from James through to Campbell. I hope this design that we're pursuing in the moment does not in some sense forego that possibility. There's a number of reasons why that would be a wonderful thing, not the least of which is that the entrance to the parking lot behind the History Center coming off 3rd Street should definitely be a one-way in entrance only. That's not a particularly safe entrance to a parking lot. And if it could be converted to one-way only in and allowing exit from the parking lots behind there, either to James or Campbell, it would certainly improve the safety of pedestrians on 3rd Street. And that was part of the original idea, to somehow make this continuous parking behind those buildings. Where does that stand? And I hope this doesn't in any way interfere with that.
No, actually, this survey, which this covers, will help gather all the information we need to look at all the different alternatives. Our ultimate design goal is to create a parking lot that would someone would enter off either James or Campbell and drive all the way through to the other road. And right now, we're planning for that to be a one-way. And as for the 3rd Street entrance, what we were looking at doing is possibly eliminating that and turning it into a pedestrian access from this parking lot out to 3rd Street, because we totally agree with you that it could create some issues, particularly with coming out. That's what we were thinking. But this is important to get, because what this company will do is go out and get all the property corners, get all the current locations of all the improvements out there, and then we're designing the parking lot in-house. And with that goal in mind, I believe that our only limitation will be the budget. So perhaps if the funds aren't there, we would do a portion of it, with the ultimate goal definitely being what you just suggested.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Flanagan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, so if you did a partial, it wouldn't be paved, it would be just graveled, or what type of partial were you looking at, I guess?
Our intention is to do a full regular parking lot. However, again, the budget's going to work into this.
I would just add that we would likely start at the south end and work our way north, because we own the property to the south. So, and we need to work with the other property owners on the north end connecting to James Street. So if we're limited by funding, that's probably going to be our plan, but we'll have to wait and see what the engineering comes back with.
So. And we do have to secure easements from the History Center, and that's part of this goal, too, is to have them prepare some easement plats so that we can approach the History Center.
Any other questions? Comments? Anything from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none, I guess we'll take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It passes unanimously. Item 4F is next on the agenda. Consider draft ordinance establishing City of Geneva Economic Development Commission.
So moved.
Piper, second.
Second.
Alderman Maladra. Comments, questions? Alderman Flanagan.
I have one comment, and I think it's one of our goals, I think, wasn't it, to put this? No? For some strange reason, I thought it was. But let me make sure I read this right before I ask that question. As part of this Economic Development Commission, was this the one that we were going to talk about hiring someone or doing a consulting of some sort?
No.
In terms of the goals question, it has been in the department goals since I was before I was hired. I think as early as 2007, but it has not been in the strategic plan goals.
Okay.
So would you say yes?
And I had this confused with another item, too, I think. So.
Yeah. No, there was no intent to hire a consultant on it.
Okay. Thank you.
Another question before you leave?
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, if you
yes.
don't mind. This is the kind of commission that would seem to me might occasionally decide they would like to hear from some expert or something. Would small amounts of funds be available within your department in case they wanted to bring in someone for a discussion or a talk on some particular aspect that they were?
Yeah, I think we could work that into the department budget on a yearly basis.
I'm not talking large amounts mm-hmm. that need to be budgeted, but mm-hmm. in case this commission decided they wanted to speak to someone who was mm-hmm. some particular expertise, that they could bring them in and possibly pay their transportation or whatever it takes to get a.
I agree with what you're saying. I mean, I've started up economic development programs in three other communities, and to get the board to gel, you do a series of education. Often you'll use local experts, but it's highly possible we could bring someone in. I think we would be able to budget in advance enough or use the department's. You know, we have small line items for travel and that kind of thing, but we could probably find it within. The one thing that comes to mind is possibly hiring a consultant for strategic planning somewhere down the road, but not immediately.
Not to start up. I agree with you. Education will be your first few steps.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? Hearing none, seeing none, I guess we'll take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 4G. Consider draft resolution authorizing application for Kane County Community Development Funds and execution of documents for Geneva Affordable Housing Strategy.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes the motion.
Second.
Second is Alderman Malander. Comments? Questions?
This was the question.
Alderman
Fine. I thought it was an item that was on our goals and objectives. So, somewhere along here, I remember recall or reading something about hiring a consultant at a later time. You don't particularly think you would want to do that in a near future, would you?
What this does, these grant funds would be used for the purposes of hiring a consultant.
Okay,
to
so
do
that would the grant
a
funds
study.
Would. Okay.
And what we've done here is we've done some research and discussed with the county staff that runs this program, and I've also been in contact with some other housing advocacy groups just talking about affordable housing and how a community goes about the business of identifying goals and objectives and policies and strategies and programs to develop affordable housing. In as much as the mayor has appointed a seven-member Geneva Housing Task Force to begin looking at this issue, I believe it makes good sense to latch on to some county funds and bring someone in to help that group as they kind of wrestle, debate, to discuss, housing in Geneva and how we can enhance housing affordability here. So that's the purpose for the okay. for the agenda item we're asking for authorization to have Mary sign the grant application, and it happens to be due on Friday.
And Geneva's matching it.
Well, it's been suggested by county staff that run the program that a 50-50 match or sharing of the cost is typically the way projects get approved, because the county's obviously getting some major buy-in from the municipality or the entity that's proposing the project. So we can optimize our points in their scoring system by going to up to 50%.
Again, to mention something that came up on the previous item, this commission no doubt will have a learning curve for the first couple of meetings. Would
yes,
this
indeed.
Money also be available to bring in people that were part of that learning curve? Not
well,
just a consultant, but others they might want to hear from.
What I suspect, as I'm getting into this, Alderman Brown, I'm finding that there are people that we can tap that don't necessarily have a price tag tied to them that can come in and talk to these issues. It's just that the kind of data analysis that's involved in crunching the numbers, on this whole question of affordability, really, it would help to have an entity with some experience in doing that to help this task force as it works through its own goals. And
I guess I would just ask how flexible are these monies?
Well, this grant would be specific for what I'm calling an initial plan or strategy that would be developed. And so the product of this this effort would be a report that would inventory existing conditions and trends in Geneva in terms of housing, demographic information, housing data, mapping of that information. I think it's important that we get a sense of what the community is thinking about this topic, and so we'd probably do some online questionnaire survey type work. We might do some windshield survey work to get a general sense of the different types of housing that we have in town and really look at it more from a housing affordability perspective, our housing stock. And then we'd actually walk through a process of identifying needs and priorities to push our programs forward in this arena. So it's really a starting point, a launching point that we're trying to establish for this work.
Thank you.
Alderman Singer.
Yes, thank you. I did receive information recently in regards to the appointment of a Geneva Housing Task Force.
Yes.
What's the distinction between a task force and a housing commission?
We, Mary and I talked about this, actually. We decided to go the route of setting up this task force because a commission would typically have bylaws, goals, objectives, have a clear path of what they're supposed to be doing. And what we need first is a group to just assemble, sift through the various programs and approaches that we might use to enhance housing affordability, and let that task force come up with a set of recommendations for the City Council to consider. The commission could be an outgrowth of that process. But the idea here is to find out more about what our needs are in specific terms, as specific as we can do it, and to really examine the different approaches that we might use to address our housing needs.
Would you possibly presume that some of the members of the task force would be serving on the Housing Commission as well?
Could very well be. I mean, one approach would be to transfer them into the commission.
Okay.
But not necessarily so. I mean, I think it could go, right, a number of different ways.
And, of course, whenever and when these people meet, there will be public meetings and open.
Those will be public meetings like any other committee.
They'll be publicized as such.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Runch. Thank you, Mr. Mark. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is something I've been trying for 14 years. Finally coming forward. Appreciate it. And thank you, City Council members.
Alderman Dantino, I believe you were.
I did. Thank you, Alderman Marks. This question is probably for Mary. You got a big X there where it says budgeted no, and you're laughing already. And obviously the county hasn't approved our grant since we're not even submitted the application. Where will these funds come from then?
If we were to be awarded during this fiscal year, our $5,000 share would come out of our fund balance, our reserves. It's likely that it wouldn't be granted until after the beginning of the new fiscal year.
Not till May or June?
Mm-hmm. May 1 is our new fiscal year. So right now we're presuming that it will be out of the next fiscal year budget. If it does come before that, we would take it out of reserves, out of the general fund.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments from the audience? Hearing none, seeing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 4H, consider budget amendment in the amount of $17,709 to general fund capital projects to accommodate the energy efficiency and conservation block grant subcontractor conditions.
So move. Second.
Alderman Singer. Piper? What was that?
I'm sorry. Piper and Brown.
Close. Comments? Questions? Hearing none, seeing none? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passed unanimously.
I think we need some caffeine. The folks are becoming less and less, more and more hesitant.
Maybe the chair is just too boring. I got through it before you did.
That's right.
I got through it before you did. Next item on the agenda is 4I, consider draft resolution authorizing bid award for agreement to Youngrins Inc. in amount not to exceed $19,715 for Police Department HVAC project.
Here we go. So moved. I said it loudly.
You did. Alderman Flanagan made the motion.
Second.
Second was Alderman Malandra. I don't think anybody is here from Youngrin. Alderman Piper, you have a question?
I know we have a bunch of these. I'm just going to ask this once only because of our quote-unquote friends in Springfield and all the things they like to do. All this grant money, we're okay. We're going to get all this back, and this has all been said and done. And
that's what
they keep saying. I know they like to say that, I love when we front stuff, you know.
We have been awarded this grant. We have to pay it out to get reimbursed, but we have confirmation in writing that we've been awarded this grant.
That makes me feel so much better.
The check is in the mail.
The check is in the mail. Wonderful.
Then why do we have to make a budget amendment when it's a zero-cost item?
Because we did not
budget for the entire
plan. We did not budget to expend this amount. So we have to correct our books first, spend the amount, then get reimbursed.
So if the state somehow doesn't come up with this, we take it out of Passarelli's check, right? You got that?
That's correct.
You hear that? All right, because this is on you. I mean, you want this, not me.
Okay. Well, we'll just write more tickets.
There you go.
Oh, I wish you would not have said that.
Alderman Singer, 4th Ward, geneva.il.gov. Okay.
It's a formal move we sent you.
I think Sergeant Passarelli and Commander Passarelli were seated, not make that. Any other questions, comments? Okay, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Passed unanimously. Next item on the agenda is 4J. Consider draft resolution authorizing bid award and agreement to Greenworks Inc., Greenworks Energy Solutions in an amount not to exceed $19,029 for air conditioning pre-cooler project.
So moved.
Alderman Brown made the motion.
Second.
Alderman Piper made the second. Comments, questions? It's the same item as before. We're going to put the money out and it comes back in. Seeing none, hearing none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passed unanimously. Next item on the agenda is item 4K. Consider draft resolution authorizing bid award and agreement to Greenworks Energy Solution in an amount not to exceed $4,000 for condenser coil corrosion project protection project.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Brown. Need a second.
Second.
Second is Alderman Piper. Comments, questions? All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. All those in boy, this excitement, I'm telling you. This is
aye.
Say aye. Anyone? Any opposition? Okay, is done. Next item on the agenda is 4L. Consider draft resolution authorizing city administrator to execute 2011 PACE subsidy agreement. It's the Ryden King project.
So move.
Motion by Alderman Singer. Second by.
Second.
Alderman Piper. He's awake. Any comments, questions?
Must be the weather.
Seeing none, hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Say nay. Passes unanimously. Just throw in another comment. item 4M, consider approval of the 2010 amended strategic plan 2017 document.
So moved.
Alderman Malandra.
Second.
Alderman Piper. Comments, questions? Alderman Flanagan.
I after I figured out how this thing was working out. And I did sit down and try to go over the past goals and objectives and see how we reorganize this thing. And I think it does make quite a bit of sense. The only question I do have is that the Randall and Kesslinger Road, you have, or the goals and objectives have placed it on, can't remember what the terminology is, ongoing, or is it completed, or action? The thing is, I just don't want, I don't know if the Randall and Kesslinger Road is been actually, because of the flashing lights, is that what we consider being resolved? I guess so. I'm just trying to understand, you know, if that's going to, if we're going to look at it from a different perspective, or is that the only thing we've done to it? I mean, not we, but the county has done, and we feel sufficient and adequate that that's appropriate.
Well, first, I would ask you, could you tell me what vision and goal you're looking at?
Yeah, it's vision 7.
Vision 7, goal 1.
Goal 2. I think it's goal 2, item 1. I'm sorry, objective 1. Vision 7, goal 2.
I believe that that intersection has had, besides the flashing lights and the signs, the turn lanes added as well.
Okay.
The eastbound turn lanes.
They extended it, correct, yeah.
Were added. As well as the improvements on the other side, the westbound.
Okay.
We extended that turn lane down to the intersection.
Okay.
As well. So other than this six-lane expansion in the future that the county's talking about all the way up and down Randall, right now to this point, those improvements have been made that were on the list to be made.
Okay. Okay. I thought maybe, but I just wanted to clarify that because I wasn't quite sure if we should take it off now or not, but if the county has plans, I'm sure somewhere along the line we'll be revisiting that intersection anyway.
When they widen Randall.
Okay, and I think, you know, just going over this, I think that we're I think we're on track, I guess, according to what I can gather from from trying to do the comparisons from the last one. Are we going to get it bound like this, or?
Yes.
Okay.
But you
have
to
approve it
first.
Oh.
We got to approve it tonight so we can have it bound.
Well, and next
and then it'll
well.
Appear in that format, though, right?
In this
format
that
you're giving
presented.
To us currently.
Yes.
Currently.
Unless we change it.
I know, unless we
right.
change it. But I unless my other fellow aldermen have any, I didn't see anything that I felt was a problem with it.
Well, and as you all know, this was in an effort to separate out those goals that have been completed and those goals that are more policy-like, that are ongoing, for clarification's sake. And I think that this accomplishes that. So it's a little bit more concise as far as the list of the goals and objectives that we have yet to work on.
Okay. Any other comments, questions? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Unanimous. It will be on the consent agenda next week. Next item on the agenda is new business. Any new business from the audience? Any from the council? Thanks. Committee. Okay. Upcoming meeting, committee of the whole meeting on December 27th, 2010. We've been asked to make sure that we can attend that because of we need to pass those levies that night because they need to go in. So if anyone cannot make that, please let Mary or Jean know, because we need to make sure we have a quorum that night. So if you're not going to be able to make that, since it is the week after Christmas between New Year's, please let them know, because we need a quorum for that for sure. Next item on the agenda is a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Piper, second by Singer. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting adjourned. And now we have to go into special counsel. You want to go right into it? You don't want to wait? All right, we'll just go. Yeah, we will just go.
Just make sure you ask for the waiver fees again.
Oh, man. You were wrong.
Is there an order for this?
I'm going to call the computer away.
All right.
I'll have to memorize it.
She has to take a date. You have to take a roll. Yeah, you have to. I'll call the meeting to order for the December 13th, 2010 special city council meeting. Could you please take the.
Chuck Brown?
Here.
Ralph Dantino?
Here.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Here.
Sam Hill? Craig Maladra?
Here.
Richard Marks?
Here.
Ray Pollack? Robert Piper?
Here.
Ron Singer?
Here.
Don Vogelsberg?
Okay. Only one item on the agenda. It is to consider resolution 2010-114, authorizing application for Kane County Community Development Funds and execution of all necessary documents for the preparation of a Geneva affordable housing strategy.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Alderman Brown, Alderman Maladra, seconded. Any discussion, comments, questions? We discussed this earlier tonight, so. Roll call vote, is that correct, Mayor? Hearing none, seeing none, we'll go for the roll call vote, please.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
That passed unanimously?
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we waive our fee for the special council meeting.
I second that.
Alderman Brown waived the fees. Alderman Flanagan seconded. Is that a roll call?
Mm-hmm.
A roll call vote, thank you.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Ralph Dantino?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, correct.
Second.
Motion by Dantino, seconded by Piper. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Meeting's ended. Thank you for attending tonight.